from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Last long enough, incentivize guys to go deeper in games and try to not have max effort dudes going four innings, right, and starter, the openers and things like that. Like,
yeah, ask Dave. We got Dave right now on the River Islands guest line.
I find it interesting. I don't think it's perfect. I don't think it's foolproof.
I'm just looking through it right now.
I like it.
I'm looking here. 2014 starting pitchers averaged just under 6 innings per start in 2014. This season, that figure stands at 5.25 innings, and it's down to 4.3 in Triple-A. So they're not getting to work, which is why we see, you know, Kyle Harrison struggle to get through five and six, because he wasn't extended there in AAA. 888-957-9570. Your thoughts on that, folks? Dave Fleming joining us here on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Won't you ask Dave, Shasky?
Hey, Dave, did you see this article? Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a suggestion about making starters go six innings. Obviously, you can get removed if you give up more than four runs, if you throw 100 pitches before the six-inning limit, or if you're injured. It's obviously trying to make people not throw, you know, max effort for only two or three innings. It's trying to incentivize guys going deeper into games. I'd also seen things floated out where the starter, once he's removed from the game, you lose the DH. Like, I like the idea of at least looking at this.
Where I have not read. Where did you see this
ESPN article today?
Yeah, I guess Spadoni just sent it to us. I'm just looking through it. Where basically you look at the innings, Flynn, from starters. In 2014, starters averaged just shy of six innings pitch per start. It's down to 5.25 this season. And in AAA, they're not even going five innings as starters in AAA right now. The numbers are down all across the board.
Yeah, and lots of what you guys are talking about there. There's lots of issues. I do agree with the general message that baseball's moments pitchers are...
Flynn, we're going to put you on hold just a second. Your line's choppy a bit here. We're going to put you on hold just a second here and fix your line here. This is interesting. Now, guy has to throw 100 pitches. Wait, let me see. The objective is to prioritize starting pitching, not to leave a struggling starter in to reach innings threshold while the ERA skyrockets or at the risk of injury. So the league's conversations have included carve-outs, instances when pitchers would not have to pitch the required six innings. Some instances when a starter would be allowed to leave early might include throwing 100 pitches, giving up four more runs, or if he gets injured. Outside of those exceptions, pitchers would have a mandate to make it through at least six innings that would force teams to rethink their pitching staffs to meet the new standards. Very intriguing.
I think this also would go into, there's a conditioning element, especially with the pitch clock, and you would want guys like, hey, like if you know that you had to go six or whatever instead of a couple of innings, like Jordan Hicks learned, like maybe I don't throw 100 every single pitch, and I taper down a little, and I throw 80%, and I'm more like I do believe the art of, you know, pitching to contact, the art of taking a little off the velo and really painting the corners and mixing up speeds and where you're throwing in terms of height and angle and left, right, inside, outside. Like all of that is getting lost in the max velo era. There are still excellent players that can paint. We saw the game the other night between Snell and Sale. That was brilliant. But I don't know. I find this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To be just interesting. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Yannick.
I think we got you back.
What do you think of this?
Well, I agree with what I was starting to say was the general premise of what is the best version of baseball? What's the most fun, enjoyable version of the sport to watch? And I believe that version is one where starting pitchers are featured prominently. You know, the biggest disadvantage with baseball is that our stars, even Aaron Judge, Barry Bonds, they come up four times a game, right? Like in hoops, Steph Curry's touching the ball every single time. So just from a pure entertainment standpoint, our stars in our sport don't get to be as involved as the quarterback in football, the star scorer in the NBA, whatever. And the only similarity is to a quarterback, to a Curry, is the starting pitcher. And the game is really fun when you've got great, but the game you referenced from the other night, Snell versus Sale, was just a super fun, intriguing game to watch because of those two guys. And so the general premise of how do we make teams, almost force teams, even if it's against their will, prioritize starting pitching, I like that premise. And if next time you guys have Buster Posey on, I think Buster's number one issue in the game today, big picture, is this issue. Like, he really is focused on how do we make starting pitching a bigger part of baseball again, like it was for most of the history of the game.
Yeah, we were just talking about Game 7 of the 91 World Series when Jack Morris went all 10 innings and threw 126 pitches. You'll never see that in today's day and age. And, you know, last night, unfortunately, we didn't see Robbie Ray go more than an inning. And he just didn't have it last night. And that was unfortunate in a must-win game. As we look at the calendar here moving forward, starting August 23rd, things ramp up for the Giants, as I believe they had the seventh toughest schedule the rest of the way. Robbie Ray just unfortunate last night. It's tough to ask for him to be a Cy Young Award winner right away after missing all the time he's had from the Tommy John surgery. But boy, right away, you're thinking, boy, 5-0. This is the last thing you need for the Giants as they struggle to hit with runners in scoring position, Flem.
Yeah, I think last night was, for me, a lot easier to dump and just get over. Like, he didn't have it, and they took advantage with one swing. They had one hit. One hit. And you're down 5-0 and sort of punched in the gut. The takeaway for me was the two nights prior. You got to win those two games. They had every chance to win both those games. And I know Sale was awesome, but your guy was awesome too. And when you're the home team in those late game extra inning situations, you have a big advantage, big advantage. And for two nights in a row, not to be able to score that placed runner, you could look back, we could end up looking back and saying those are the two nights that really cost the Giants their chance. Those are the ones that were more upsetting to me than the one last night. Last night was frustrating and no fun to watch. But that kind of stuff does tend to happen with a guy coming back from surgery.
I'm not going to lie, Flem, I'll stick it to you, crew, Kype, and everything said, boy, you guys deserve a day off on Friday. You guys in that poop after those extra 80 games and then last night. I was telling Shask early today, well, you guys need a shot ahead to see it, man. Just take the day off and just relax and get away from this stuff, man. This is heart-wrenching stuff right now.
It is. And you know what? Everything is fraught right now with the Giants. And I think it's almost part of the issue with this franchise at this particular moment. It's like everybody is just so desperate to find the magic solution and like what. And so every day becomes like a referendum on the whole organization's philosophy on how they're doing stuff and how they're developing and how they're building a team and how they're playing in games and how they're coaching. And man, that's a hard way to survive. You know, at some point, this whole group has to hit a comfort zone, a level where it's like, we're just going out there, we're competing, we've got our team, we're sticking to what we believe in, and that's what we're doing. And it is emotionally draining. And that's, you know, that like, look, that's part of the disadvantage of digging yourself a huge hole, where you start off the year and you don't play the way you wanted to. And then you're just playing catch up. And so every game, there's this pressure and buildup on every single game. Baseball's a sport where a game like last night, even the best teams have games like that. But it's so much harder to just get over it when you're in the position the Giants are in. It's not, you know, they're not out of it. It's not over. But I think you're clearly seeing a toll of all of these games piling up one after another on this team. And those pressure. You know, the runners in scoring position, the easiest explanation is because what's different, like the Giants have hitters who are capable, and the easiest explanation is they're just putting a ton of pressure on themselves in those spots.
Yeah, I mean, just the other night, and I don't want to get all crazy back and forth on this, but like first and second, and Conforto grounds into the double play, and then you go into that 10th inning, and Schmitz at second, the ghost runner, and Fitzgerald, he's just had amazing at-bats. Like, I understand why you'd want to bunt there. I just don't want to bunt that guy in that situation. And I don't know if Bob was caping up for him because he did it on his own, but I just hated that whole sequence. I'm like, that's the one guy who is swinging the bat really well right now, even though his runners in scoring position data isn't the greatest. It's like he walked into one already and hit one over the wall. It's like, ugh. And then he bunts in it, and I don't know, there's an interference call, and Schmidt's going to get thrown out of third anyway. Like, that whole sequence, like, was just, it was frustrating to watch. It was driving me crazy.
It was. I wouldn't have bunted him. That's me. But I can understand, you know, Iglesias is like the unknown guy. He is so good. I do understand the sentiment, the sort of in the back of your brain, especially after watching what he did the night before. I do understand the idea of, we got to score that one run and live to see another inning without him in there, and anybody else but him, we got a better shot. And so I think that's, you know, there, that at least is some justification. You gotta, and this, I'm not criticizing anybody specifically, but you got to emphasize to your player, dude, this is not a sacrifice. You have to, with his skill set, you got to bunt and try to beat it out. and it just wasn't the right type of bunt. You get, if you're going to ask him to bunt with his speed, he's a top five sprint speed guy in the game right now. And you gotta make sure he knows this is a bunt where you're pushing it or pulling it down the third baseline to try to beat it out for a hit, where the worst case scenario is it's a sacrifice and you get the guy over. But we got a chance to get you on. If he beats it out for a hit and Schmidt is at third, and then Fitzgerald gets the full green light to go, because you figure with the tying run at third, they're not throwing down with a guy as fast as him. Now you're cooking. Like, and that's, you know, look, well, why is that so frustrating? Because that is the difference. That one play, you execute that one play, and I think you win the game, and they didn't do it.
I know. I love that little sequence there. Fitzgerald's a good example of somebody who, you know, he rose the ranks, but he never was highly touted and has definitely outperformed any expectations that I had. Ramos came up, came down, and has been a revelation this year. So I don't want to say that it's the end of the all for Luciano. He's still very young. I get all that. But I am frustrated. It's like 5 years of hype from prospect rankings and all this stuff that's independent of the Giants. He doesn't have a position. His at-bats didn't look great. I get why they sent him down, but I'm not disappointed that they sent him down. I'm more disappointed that he's not driving the ball and he doesn't have a position. And it's like, we're already here. And I don't see an optimistic future for the young man. And so I'm really frustrated on just the whole Luciano development. Where does he go from here?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a big, big question for this organization, because I think you're right on a lot of that stuff. And you can't have a 22-year-old be a DH. Like, that just, like, that it limits his future so much. And whether there's blame to be assigned for waiting this long to decide that he's not a shortstop, or whether, you know, I think the optimistic view is that, hey, look, the guy's always been a shortstop. Every game he played from the time he was 4 years old till the time 2 months ago was he was a shortstop. He's a developing player. We're giving him a chance in his comfort zone to stay there, to let the bat develop. I mean, that's the positive outlook, and I don't totally disagree with that. But now if you've decided he isn't a shortstop, all over again, because I don't think the second base experiment was going all that well down there. Maybe that's where he sticks. Maybe he's a corner outfielder, but that's going to be an off-season project. Like, so now you're going to go down to Scottsdale in October and start, you know, repping him out in left field or whatever. And it's like, man, it's a lot of setbacks for a guy who you were hoping by now would be a big impact guy for this franchise. And he still has hitting ability. He does. He's got incredible bat speed and raw power. He's got a real good understanding of the strike zone. There is material there to work with. You got to fight the urge as an organization to give up on the guy and just tell yourself the guy's got talent. Don't give up on him. Keep working with him. You know, Ramos would be a great example of somebody who the talent is there. We got to be stubborn about this and see if we can unlock that talent, because he's good enough to be a middle of the order type hitter. That's the kind of raw ability he's got.
Dave Fleming here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Going into last night, Flem, and this is, hey, maybe you can answer this question because I don't understand it. Giants were 0-10 night against Charlie Morton with runners in scoring position since July 30th, before last night, when they had an opportunity down in the bottom of the third, one out, bases loaded, could get back into the baseball game, but back-to-back strikeouts there, and the rally's over, and the Braves go on to win 13-2. But since July 30th, entering last night, they were batting 154 with runners in scoring position, 19 for 123. Now, I don't know if it's approaches. I don't know if it's just bad at-bats or pitchers blowing them away. What do you attribute that to? Because it's been a problem all for most of the second half of the season, Flem. Hitting with runners in scoring position. Gosh, Lee, what is going on here?
They're the worst. I mean, they're the worst or second worst over the last month, and it's a miracle they've gotten into the position they have. And it's not just the batting average. It's zero power.
Yep.
Like, they've hit for no power in those runners. Like, one time run into one in one of those at bats and just crush one and put the game out of reach. You know, nowadays it's like begging for just a bleeder through the right side to get somebody home. I just go back to, I mean, I just, I don't know how else to explain it other than to say this is a team that's putting a ton of pressure on themselves. And for whatever reason, they haven't been able to unlock that, like get rid of that feeling. Because you know, their overall offensive numbers, their run scoring numbers, they are
right
middle of the pack or maybe even a little better. Saw this last road trip. They hit 15 home runs in 7 games on the last road trip. It's not like they don't have some offensive ability and have shown that. It's just those at bats, the whole thing changes. And it just, to me, the only explanation is that they're putting too much pressure on themselves. And that's all. So how do you tell a guy, don't put pressure? Like, what do you do about that? Like, I don't know what the solution for that is other than somebody's got to break through and get one of those big hits or a few of those big hits and kind of alleviate the pressure for everybody.
You know, I was going to ask you next about Flem, about Birdsong and Harrison, about any concern there. We could say that for next week, but we do have the Bay Bridge series coming up Saturday and Sunday. Friday, day off. Hopefully you enjoy it. You and the crew, you enjoy it with the family or whatnot. Then we got to go to Oakland one last time at the Coliseum for a little Giants and A's. Favorite memories of the Bay Bridge series? Are you going to be a little sad about it knowing that, man, this is the last time I'm going to be in this booth? Although, obviously, the Coliseum needs a renovation. It's not the best booth in the world, but it is the last Bay Bridge series. That is happening. The reality is here, Flem, that the A's will no longer be playing in Oakland next season.
Yeah, well, let's get this out of the way first. There will be zero sentimentality about the booth. I will not miss the booth. The booth or the Coliseum, there will be no tears shed.
No doubt.
None. But I will definitely be sentimental about the fact that A's, Giants, Oakland, San Francisco will be gone. Like, we have a cool thing. Not many places have what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel for A's fans. I love A's fans. I do. And, you know, sometimes in this Giants A's rivalry, they could be very petty. And I didn't always agree with the way the A's sort of handled the rivalry. But I love A's fans, and they're passionate and emotional, and they love their team, and they're proud of their community. And it sucks what's happened to them, and it absolutely sucks what's happened to that franchise as a whole. And so I will be sentimental about that part of it, but missing the Coliseum, no. I will not miss the Coliseum. They're dragging me over there to do those two games.
I hope a possum comes says hello to you, Flem, this weekend. That's car before you. Maybe there's a possum waiting on you there this weekend.
Should I bring some treats as a final going away gift or something?
You might need to, or some spray.
Oh, God, yeah.
What's going on with Pat Bailey? I mean, the guy was really good this year all the way through June, and then – it feels like July, he hit a wall, and August, the bottom has fallen out. He's got like 4 extra base hits in the last, I don't know, 65 days or so. I mean, 3 for 46 currently in the month of August. His defense is still there. You know, he threw a guy out the other day. It's just offensively, he just doesn't look right. And I know he put on a lot of weight in the offseason to be prepared to not wear down. And I know the position, this did this to Buster. He wore down as the season went on, but not this bad. What's going on with Bailey?
Yeah, it's a hard question. I wish I had a better answer for you, and it's one they have to solve. Patrick Bailey's one of the most important players for this team going forward, like high on the list of most important players. And so they have to figure out whether this is just a weird coincidence that it's happening 2 years in a row. It doesn't seem like it's a coincidence. The good news is, and I think this is actually really good news, if you want to feel good about Bailey, the good news is that the defense, as you said, last year the defense really fell off. And it was like the whole thing came apart in the last month. He was the throws were, I don't know how many errors he made in September last year, but a lot. You know, he was chucking it into... His defense has been outstanding here. So to me, that's a really positive sign that some of that work that he's done to last the season a little longer is paying off. My best, this is just purely like amateur analysis. I do think that the switch hitting thing for him is really complicated. And when you're a catcher, and you're in the middle of a season and you're grinding out day-to-day game planning with your pitchers and trade deadline, new guys come up, you're learning new guys, Blake Snell, you're learning him, Robbie Ray, you're trying to figure out how to work with him. and your swing gets a little out of whack and you've got two swings that are totally different, that is a lot. And I do believe that the burden of being a catcher, being the leader of the whole pitching staff and managing two swings is very complicated for him. And I think the right-handed swing has been a mess and his left-handed swing has suffered because of it. I think, you know, he's always going to be a stronger hitter batting left-handed. And, you know, it might be that the Giants are going to have to try their best to manage that workload a little bit better next year in terms of whether it's not exposing him to as many left-handed pitchers. The problem is you're seeing it as well as we are. Like now teams are just attacking him with lefties. Mm-hmm. Like if his spot is coming up in the later innings, a lefty's coming in. And I think that's got him a little off kilter. He's got a great attitude. I talked to him the other day. He's all in on, you know, leading the pitching staff. I think there's a lot of positives in the midst of this big slump, but they got to do their best to try to help him avoid something like this in the future. His swing's been better the last few days. I think he's coming out of it. I think you'll see more production from him from here till the end of the year, but it's really hard to survive a month where you get a couple hits. And that's like, you know, he was 1-for-42 or whatever he was. Like, I don't care how good you are on defense. It's hard to help your team when that's the case.
He's 1-for-42. Casey Schmidt, 1-for-27. Wisely, 3-for-his-last-21. It's just somebody get a hit, a big hit. And you know what? It doesn't get easier today. Max Fried's on the mound for the Braves. So Giants got to salvage one in this series. It gets another tough pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. So, Flynn, enjoy your day off tomorrow. Hopefully they get a win today. Send you off, get some nice little wine in tomorrow, and then get ready for the Battle of the Bay for the last time between the Giants and the A's. Flynn, thanks for the time as always, brother.
Just be thinking of me here in a few hours. I'm before the game today. I'm taking my girls. They're going to college today. So.
Oh wait, you got the day off? Oh,
congratulations, Dave.
No, I'm gonna do the game. I'm my wife is taking him. I'm taking him to the airport, but it's a big day in the Fleming household.
Who's it hit harder? Is it hit you or your wife harder?
Well, it's hit her harder, but it hit me this morning pretty good when I woke up. So I'm going to make some pancakes for everybody before we go to the airport.
All right, now I have to ask, maple or blueberry?
We do a mix of plain. I like the blueberry, but I'm the only one, so I probably won't make any of those this time. And the kids still, even though they're going to college, they still want me to throw some chocolate chips in there.
I love it. Oh, man, the tears are going to be flowing. I dropped my daughter off to Montessori school. I was getting choked up. I can't imagine college. Opposite coast? Oh, my gosh. Oh, Flip.
Clean it up, Bonte. You can't cry at Montessori.
I know. I can't. I'm a big softy, man. Like I'm hardened, a big softy.
Hardened veteran giving you advice over here.
We'll be thinking about you, man.
I love it, man.
Congratulations, though. That's a great moment for you and the family and your wife.
Testament
That's an awesome
to great
moment.
Parenting.
I'm excited for them. They're going to have a great time.
Absolutely, man. Well, we'll be listening today, Flynn. Have a good call.
Yep. See you, buddy.
All right, talk to you again soon. Bye.
All right. Yep. Dave Fleming here on the River Islands Guest Line, man. That's awesome, man. Jumping the kids off to college, man. I do need to clean it up. I get emotional all the time.
You're talking to the guy that cries all over the place.
Dude, I mean, when I pick up baby Chess from gym camp, she sprints to me, hugs me tight, starts kissing me on the cheek. I'm like, I don't want these days in. So last night, for example, Mama was out again. She's getting her hair done. So, she, you know, we were asleep by the time she came home. So, you know, daddy duty, daddy daycare. And baby Chaz, like, came out the room. I left the nightlight on in her room. Yeah. She's like, Papa, you forgot to turn off the light. I'm trying to sleep. So I turn off the nightlight. I come back in. Then I'm cleaning one of my pair of Jordans, the Carmines, clean them up, scrubbing them. It's like,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.
oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.